this is an expose, right? So hole in your shorts, like that's part.
This is an expose. The tell all, the Stacey Harkey story.
In the hot seat today with Stacey, mixing things. Wait, are we rolling? Like.
Being gay, being out, being queer is such a cool thing. And yes, there are tough aspects of it, but you have a community. There are so many heart-wrenching, heartbreaking stories, and those are so valid. But also, there's a lot of stories of joy. Welcome to today's episode of the podcast, where we're talking about joy and queer things.
I'm used to being behind the camera.
It's true.
You know? So, like,
Cal and Curtis, who you don't see, but Cal and Curtis are running the behind the scenes, the behind the camera. Curtis is running, he's like the DP, and Cal's like the director. Director of photography is Curtis running the cameras. I'm sure people are like, why did you just call him? Yeah.
Curtis is a grip.
Grip? There it is. He does it all.
No, I'm just kidding. I was like, dang. Yeah, we got Stacey in the hot seat today. So switching things up, I'll be interviewing Stacey.
Oh, snaps.
Tell all, going deep, diving in.
Wait, and who are you with Encircle?
I'm Cal.
So people are just like, where did you find this person?
No, I just showed, I walked in. I was just walking down the street.
You're like, you man in the street, get in here.
Yeah. No, I'm Cal. I use they, them. I think my title is senior manager of content, but I basically just make stuff. So I help with our videos. I help with our design, social media stuff.
I love it. Random question for you.
Yeah.
Is there a gender neutral term for aunt and uncle?
I've heard one. I don't remember what it is.
It's not like Zot or something. Right?
No, there was
Zunkle.
There were some kids who were telling me one. It was, I don't remember.
I've heard the term for, there's like nibblings.
Yeah, nibblings.
Is that for nieces and nephews?
I think so.
Which, I'm not going to lie, the word nibbling just does not sit well in my
mouth. That feels like a...
There's like something you eat, but it's like the last part of the meal and you're not too excited about it.
Yeah, it feels like something from Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You know?
It's definitely going to be at Thanksgiving and no one's going to touch it. All right, sorry to interrupt.
No, yeah. I forgot where I was going. But, I want to start because you've done the game, like the name game, right? Where you make some puns.
Oh, yeah. Did you do one?
And I wanted to try it, so I've got a couple questions for you.
Just so people know, I got this from Tyra Banks. She's like, would interview people back in the day, and it was always borderline, like not offensive, but it feels like a mockery, and I love it. So I've been doing it to a couple people.
Cool. So Stacey Spacey, do you believe in aliens?
I wasn't expecting that right out the gate to go straight to like aliens.
I'm like a crazy sci-fi nerd, so that's like,
do I believe
that's
in like basic aliens? Level for me. It's so funny because a lot of my belief is just like if people tell me something, I'm like, okay. So are aliens out there? Sure. Aliens couldn't be out there? Okay. Does it affect me? I'm like, if I have a reason to be skeptical, I will. But other than that, I'm like, sure.
Why not?
Sasquatch? Why not? Aliens? Okay.
So you've never been abducted by aliens or anything?
I've never been abducted.
As far as you know.
Oh, man. I don't want that. Some people are like, I would love that. And I'm like, no, don't. No, none of that.
That'd be freaky. Yeah, I couldn't.
Because you don't know if they're going to treat you like we treat animals here, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Tag you and probe you. And
yeah. And if you do get abducted, hopefully it's by like the crazy cat lady equivalent of aliens. Where,
oh, they just like bring you in.
On a pedestal and like always feed you the best stuff. Yeah. You just pee everywhere and they don't care.
Here's a bowl of water.
Yeah. I don't want to get abducted by an alien that has like my style of pet ownership. Because I'm like firm with pets.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I'm such a softy.
Oh, really?
Pets. Yeah.
Like, I'm like, we establish order and then we ease up and have fun.
That's awesome. Well, it's funny too, because like I grew up on a farm, so you'd think I'd be.
Oh, you did?
More firm, but I'm such a.
Oh, yeah, are you like hugging the cows that are going to the slaughterhouse?
A little bit, yeah.
Did you kill cows?
We had pigs.
You killed pigs?
Yeah. We had a pig named
They're
Princess.
They're so smart. I know. Princess?
Yeah.
That seems cruel.
Yeah.
Did it feel like you were staging a coup when you killed Princess?
A little.
Overthrowing the government.
Anastasia. Yeah. A little bit.
Felt powerful.
Yeah. None of my sisters wanted to eat Princess.
Listen, I would be all against killing Princess until you put that plate of bacon on the table. And then I'd be like, you know what?
Yeah. As long as it doesn't have a name tag. Like, there's no name. So.
Like, some people at dinner parties label, like, fun foods different names. You have it named after the animals.
I feel like that would not, yeah, that wouldn't go over well.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Bassy, do you play any instruments?
Oh, bassy. I like it. I wish I played a string instrument. I played the trombone in high school.
Trombone?
I was in all-state jazz band. So I was like, I was like really good at improvising on the trombone, which I feel like is really easy because if you're like, there's no buttons, there's just a slide. So if you get to the wrong note, you just like find the right one. And people would be like, sounds
you
cool.
You act like it's jazz. It's intentional,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'd be like, cool. Bah, 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 bah. And people would be like, yeah. And I'd be like, yeah.
Do you keep up with it at all?
No, I haven't played it in so long. I know a couple chords on the piano and the guitar, but nothing like I was in high school, I was icy on the trombone. I thought about doing it in college.
Really?
Yeah. But band in Texas is different than band in Utah, which is...
How so?
Just because anything surrounding football in Texas is like big. Mm. So like after parties, we'd be at after parties with the players and like the cheerleaders and the drill team. And like anything that surrounds football was like hot. And like my band director in high school was like one of the highest paid in the superintendent. Like one of the highest paid employees in the district, almost as much as the superintendent. Wow. So like it was like a big thing.
Yeah.
And then Utah, everyone's like, they were like, you were in band? I was like, yeah.
Is Utah like a little stuffier or just like...
Band is just like a way nerdier thing, which is like, I was so surprised. I remember driving, it just football in general here is just different. Like I remember driving to BYU for my freshman year of college and seeing little stadiums and little like, and I was like, is this like, you got a bunch of scrimmage fields? And they were like, no, that's like the high school fields. And I was like,
oh, really? Because like, we had big like in Texas?
Full stadiums. The biggest building in my little city of Little Elm was the high school stadium. Everybody goes. It was massive. Wow. It was like, it's bigger than some college stadiums. It was wild.
Really?
Yeah.
Friday Night Lights is a true story.
Dude, it's, yeah.
That's like, awesome.
You don't have to have kids in high school at all. Everyone goes to the football games, high school football games.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See, as soon as I graduated, I was like, I'm never going back.
I miss that kind of, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. It's just like a good community activity. Everyone's together, you know.
Yeah, that's true. And it's free, right? Or cheap.
Yeah, it's cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, cool. Baby making money.
Let's see. Erase-y. If you could go back and change one sentence that you said in your life, not just like a thing you've done, but a sentence you said, what would it be?
I don't live in regret land much. So like they did, I'm not the kind of person that's like laying down and it's like, why did I say that? Why did I say that? Oh dude, I don't know if I, like maybe it would be something stupid like the waiter's like, enjoy your meal. And I'm like, you too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got nothing though.
Okay. Well, that's good though. Like not living in those regrets.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Do you think
I could just be like, I moved on. I'm like, there's a lot I regret and I don't remember it.
Okay, last one. Place-y. What are some spaces or places where you feel like you can be yourself?
Place-y. Oh, I love that. I have a pretty interesting platform, too, in life where I kind of, I don't wait for permission to be me. I, like, impose myself on people or spaces, and they can take it or leave it. So I feel like sometimes when I meet new people, I'm like... if I want to be your friend, you're going to get like, you're going to get me, right? Like my essence. And if you don't like that, that's fine. Like navigate it accordingly. But I think some places I can completely be myself. My own home, first off, with my roommates, very supportive, great guys. Let's see where else. I honestly teaching like, so I teach fitness classes.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what it is, but I'm like in those classes, I just like love. I'm like in my flow, living life, just like having a good time. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I should think more about it. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Placey.
I mean, like, that's like In Circles thing, right? Building spaces and places.
Yeah.
For queer people to be authentic.
Mm-hmm. I should have said In Circle, huh? Trying to, like, set me up?
No. We're not shooting an ad here.
And we put our thumbs up at the same time. And
in
be
Circle.
Like, In Circle. Where you feel at home.
Should we do one more? I do have
do one more.
All right. Grace-y, what's something you're proud of yourself for overcoming?
I was going to joke and say my sexuality, but that's, I was like, this is the place. Grace-y, what is something I'm proud of myself for overcoming? Is this like grace?
Yeah, like giving yourself grace. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Is that, I was like, that might be a stretch, but
Let's see. I think one thing that I'm proud of myself for overcoming, I like to think I can be pretty hard on myself, but I can be pretty good to myself too. I'll be like, Stacey, way to kill it.
Mm.
But I think of like little day-to-day things, but something bigger that I'm proud of myself for overcoming. You know what? To be honest, and I don't know if this is going to flow right in theme, but like the way I came out to my family and the way I brought them with me on my journey, I was like really, like I put a lot of thought into it and I was like kind of strategic about it. And I'm really happy with how I did it. And like, I don't know, just give you some context because you're like, how?
Yeah, no, I'm saying let's go there. Let's, yeah, so the whole story.
I came out to, started coming out to people, smattering of people in like early 2018. And once I was ready, because it was a very internal process, right? Sure. Once I was ready, I was just like, bam, like we're doing it. Started coming out in flows. But what I didn't want, before I came out publicly, I came out to my family. And what I didn't want is I didn't want this to be like Uncle Stacy's secret. Like I hear people talk about where it's like, we don't talk about Nathaniel's secret. He's just Nathan, you know?
Right.
His friend. I knew I had to like work to normalize like my sexuality for my family, especially being something that was so unique and different for them. And they've never really seen me that way or never really seen me date, you know?
Yeah.
And so my goal was to, and this is going to sound really annoying, to bring it up as much as I could.
Hmm.
And not to the purpose of being like, I'm going to annoy you. The purpose was just so the more we talk about it, the less like taboo it becomes, right?
Yeah.
The more
climatizing.
I bring it up. Yeah, it just becomes like, it starts to normalize it. And so it wasn't like I was like, you know, like every second, like, who's gay? But not too far off. Like my parents picked me up from the airport, like December of 2018. And that's when I came out publicly.
Hmm.
And I hop in the car with them and I'm like, so I'm gay, right? Like, that's wild. And that, isn't that crazy? Because I didn't want it.
The first thing you told them?
I wanted to be like, this is something we talk about, and not to be like, when do we bring this up?
Mm.
Just like jump right in the pool. And then I had a moment like where I would talk about, man, I don't know, I'm excited about dating. I would just talk about stuff because I knew they were like, we don't know how to navigate this, so we don't know how to bring it up. So I was like, let me talk about it. And no one was ever like, that's too much. And I think sometimes there was a lot of discomfort, but I knew that we had to just push through that. And I know when my mom started asking me, she was like, have you been on any dates with nice boys lately? I was like, mission accomplished. And I was like, now I can ease up. But I was very intentional about that concept. I was like, I need this to feel like a normal part of my day-to-day, like it is for my siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I'm going to bring it up and hope like to create just a feeling of normalization.
So is it something that like you knew how they were going to react, or had you like put some feelers out to start to gauge how they'd respond to you?
I had theories, but I think too, I just expected the worst case scenario.
Mm.
And I hate to say like, there's a lot of fear that comes along with that, but in some ways it was kind of nice because I had a game plan for the worst case scenario. And if it wasn't the worst, I would be surprised and be like, yo, that's right. But if it was the worst, I'd be like, I saw this coming.
You're ready for it.
Thankfully, it wasn't the worst case scenario. My siblings were great. My brother was like, I don't know what this means. My sisters were like, we'll be surrogates. I was like, calm down. And my dad was like, it like kind of rocked him that he was like, man, it hurt me that you had to carry this by yourself for so long.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, Dad, that's really sweet. Like, it wasn't about, he didn't make it about him.
Yeah.
He wasn't like, I came out to him and he was like, I'm mad. He was like, I can't imagine how to make you feel. And I knew my mom, who was very, very religious, very, very LDS. I was like, we'll see how this goes. And she was pretty cool about it. She had had this feeling while she was praying and reading scriptures the day before that this overwhelming feeling came over her that God was just like, Stacy's good. And she was like, what? He was like, he's good. Don't worry, I got him.
Wow.
And so I called her and then I was like, Mom, I'm gay. And she was like, you're good. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, like I had this incredible feeling the day before and I feel like this is what it was all about. So
spiritual groundwork.
Oh man, it gave her so much peace. Wow. She was just like, no matter what happens, like I know you're good. And that was really big for us.
That's
amazing.
Wild? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it affected a lot of her philosophy on like her role in my life as my mother. And she's like, it's my responsibility to guide you and to help you along this route. And then after that experience, she was like, oh, if I believe in an all-powerful God, which I do, I can't think I'm the last link and that I know everything. So I'm just going to give, I'm going to let, be like, trust him to do his thing and like, and he'll do his thing. Because I'm not, she's like, I'm not all powerful. He is. Like, why am I trying to like control and force things? Which I thought was very astute and mature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It'd be tough for parents to do that.
Yeah. Right. Well, and like, it's one, like, we've both been through navigating our own identities with religion. So it's interesting, yeah, a parent's perspective on that. And I'm sure a lot of our in-circle audience are parents or youth going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that brings up a big question. Like, obviously, most people probably know you from Studio C at BYU TV and everything. And you exist kind of in a space between an overlapping religion and queerness. And
I feel like Tarzan, it's like two worlds, one family. Like, I'm like in this...
See, that might be a generational gap, because you went Tarzan, and I was thinking Hannah Montana.
Hannah Montana, the best of both worlds. Best of both worlds.
But if you don't mind me asking, like, how, yeah, what does that space look like for you? What does that feel like? How, where are you at?
And I guess it's helpful to know, because I worked, went to BYU, served a two-year mission, LDS mission.
Where'd you go?
Went to Brazil.
Qual cidade?
Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, legal.
Did you serve in Brazil?
No, I served in Chile, but I studied some Portuguese.
Okay,
in school.
I was like, don't play with me, Cal. I love Portuguese. Anyways, I served a two-year mission in Brazil. Loved it. Went to BYU. Loved it. Studied PR at BYU. Loved it. Worked for BYU TV. That was complex. Loved aspects of it. Had a really hard time in other aspects. And it had nothing to do with my sexuality, just... A lot of things there. That's a whole other.
That's another podcast.
like BYU, the church has been like a huge part of my life, and so we left Studio C in early 2018, and then I came out late 2018. Not because I was not at BYU TV anymore, just because I felt ready. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting place to be, and I had to re-navigate many times what. Religion, the role religion played in my life. I was teaching like Stake Institute before I came out. I was in Elder Scrum Presidency. The bishop I came out to, I was like the final bishop I came out to because all my bishops knew, especially if we talked about it. But I was just like, heads up, I'm gay. I'm going to start dating. Just didn't want to catch you off guard or anything. And his jaw to the floor and he's like, but you're so good. And I was like, yeah, not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
but... Just like there was just a lot of navigating what religion, what spirituality meant to me. And I'm going to say, like, I don't care if you have left the LDS faith or faith at all, or if you've never been LDS or practice faith in any way, or if you are incredibly active or nuanced and in the middle, like you have to navigate your faith. At some point you have to like really think through what you believe and why you believe it. And make choices based on that. And I think that's a very healthy thing. I love the idea of wrestling your beliefs, whether it's faith or just like the way you navigate the world. It's like, it's important to like think through that stuff and to make adjustments if you need to. Like I remember at one point, well, basically for me, it was a question of what is the goal for religion in my life? And I think religion plays a lot of beautiful, beautiful roles in my life. There was community. There was connection. There was opportunities to serve, which I loved. Mm-hmm. There was just like the hope and inspiration that comes from believing in something bigger than us and like pushing us to be better. I think that's so beautiful. And at the end of the day, what I took from religion, what was the most important to me was my relationship with the divine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so my connection with the divine is what I, that's the whole point of like religion, is to help facilitate that connection. And as I was grappling with religion and my sexuality and how they didn't always combine, I looked at some things and I was like, oh, here's some things that I learned in religion that aren't helping me feel more connected to the divine. They're not helping me feel more connected to myself, who is created by the divine, is what I believe, right?
Right.
And so by like turning my back on myself, I turned my back on this beautiful, like perfect creator who doesn't make mistakes. And so I was like, I need to like not hold on to this belief about my how wrong my sexuality is. And I need to lean maybe more into I'm here for a reason. And part of that reason is to be you, is to like be me. So I always compare when it comes to being in this world, I think it's okay to be nuanced. And so I take a very nuanced approach to my beliefs. If someone tells me to believe something, I'll be like, let me think about that. Let me see if that fits in with my belief system. And if it doesn't, I'm like, no, don't worry about it. Mm. And if it does, I'm like, that's cool. Thanks for like, what a cool thing to add to the pile, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Definitely.
Because yeah. I really rambled.
No, I think finding those pieces that work for you mm-hmm. and not feeling that pressure to take everything that doesn't work for you with it. Like, I think that's healthy.
I think that's I think more people would be happier if they did that, if they took a nuanced approach to their belief. Because I've heard some people talk to me and they're like, I'm trying to figure out how this fits into what I believe it means to be a good, you know, Christian or good, whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. If you believe in an all-powerful creator, like my belief is kind of like my mom where it's like, I believe in an all-powerful creator. And I believe that if I'm trying my best, this all-powerful creator will help me learn what I don't know. Mm. So as I navigate my life, if I'm moving in the wrong direction, I trust that it'll be known to me that I am, and I'll course correct. Mm. And if I'm not, and I feel good about where I'm going, I'll just keep moving in that direction.
Yeah, that's a powerful idea. Like,
it's like I just take the burden off me. Like,
yeah. Well, and it's kind of the idea of grace, right? Like acknowledging that, you know, it's like Jesus said, like, only God is good. So why should I have the expectation that I be a good Christian? Like, yeah. I'm just going to do what works for me, what's best.
Oh, interesting. And yeah, we get so caught up in like, I think we get so caught up in like checking these boxes. And I don't care if it's like religion or not. We just like, what does it mean to be a good person? What does it mean to be woke? What does it mean? Like we want to check these boxes so bad because we have this like intense desire to feel like we're moving in the right direction. We're doing good things. Whether you believe in, you know, like God or not, right? Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes it's like, do we need to like just take a break? Do we need to check the boxes or are we trying to work towards something else? Like, why are we checking boxes? It's okay to be nuanced in your approach to life. It's okay to be different. Like, that's the beauty of diversity. Mm. Like, we love diversity. I don't know anyone who's like, diversity is bad, right? But one of the beauties, one thing I really, really believe about diversity is diversity is not just looking around and seeing different people. It's also different beliefs. It's also different opinions. And one of the prices of diversity to me is of being offended. It's bumping up against people who are different than you. That's the price of celebrating difference. And like difference is not just you look different. It's like you believe different. And that can create tension. And what a beautiful, beautiful system like that we celebrate or claim to celebrate that like we hold space for everyone to be their unique selves. And that means we're gonna bump up against each other.
Yeah.
That's a term coined by Irshad Manji. It's called honest diversity.
Honest diversity
is her term for it.
Cool.
In her book, Don't Label Me, she goes into all this stuff. And I'm like, I love, love, love the concept. Love what she's doing.
That's cool. I'm gonna have to, send me info.
Oh, it's
that's
good. Interesting. It'll challenge you though.
Yeah.
No matter how you feel or believe, it'll challenge you, which I love.
See, I think that's an interesting like bouncing off point to another question I had. It's kind of that idea of like, you know, these things come in conflict and we got to do what works best for us, right? Yeah, what keeps us sane and mm-hmm. safe and healthy and happy. I don't know. Have you ever had conflict of like within your identity of feeling like queerness is wrong or being told that it was wrong? And how'd you navigate that?
You know, and for sure, when I came out, it was like, I felt like someone had like built, because I love the structure of like religion. I love that structure of like, I know I gotta do A plus B equals C. I know what I have to do. It gives me a lot of peace to like have that kind of system and that structure. So I knew that like I would go on a mission, check that box. I would come home, go to college, check that box. I would get married. And that's when I was having a hard time. I was like, oh, I don't know, I'm gonna check the box. I was like, marry a woman and multiply and replenish, like make babies. And I was like, oh. This is all of a sudden I was like getting thrown out of whack with this system. But like what I realized was that these guidelines, the structure was something that was kind of given to me. It wasn't something that I set and I was like, I am like on board with all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And a huge portion of my life, I'm like, you have a responsibility to like take your beliefs and to question them and to like strengthen them and validate them or change them. You know what I mean? If you find that like something's not right. And so I was like, I'll do that with some of these structures that have been set up. And so I took time to like to like explore what that looked like for me. And I took my time. I was very slow about it. I was very deliberate. And that helped me gain confidence in being like, I would try something and be like, oh my gosh. Like, I remember the first time I held a boy's hand. I remember being told, like, that is so wrong. It's bad. It's bad. But I just felt so, like, it was electrifying. It was so positive. I had experienced that before in other venues, like peaceful moments at church, sure. Not like feeling that peace. And I was like, I'm experiencing it now. And so for me, that was a moment where I was like, all right, let me take this belief I had and rewrite it. Because right now, this thing that I was told is wrong. I'm experiencing it and it's good. And I feel like that was my experience with a lot of things, was like, try them out. And if it's wrong, you'll feel it. You'll know. And if it's good, like, what a beautiful thing you've discovered, you know?
Yeah. Wow, that's powerful. So would you say then that, like, guilt wasn't necessarily an aspect of your coming out process?
I feel like I was very prayerful in how I did it. And, like, by the time I came out, I had worked through, my process was very internal. I didn't, like, because of Studio C, I didn't feel like I had the freedom to necessarily, like, try things, like, go on dates with guys to see how I felt.
Sure.
Because I was like, that's a very public thing. And so I did a lot of internalization of, like, I feel like I describe it as like going in a cocoon. And for like a year or two, I was in this cocoon, like figuring out, what do I feel? What do I want? What do I believe? And I've never once in my belief system, and in, you know, even growing up in the same religion, people can have a very different view of who God is, right?
Totally.
And in my belief system, I never had this image of a God who was like ready, like watching to see if you step out of the lines, to be like, gotcha, gotcha. I had this like image of someone who's like, let's figure it out together. Like, this life is to experience things, and let's like navigate that in a way that like we learn and we grow. I mean, at the core, the basis of so many Christian theologies is the idea that a perfect person sacrificed themselves for you so that all the mistakes you made would like not be held against you. And so in that sense, it seems kind of, to me at least, it seems kind of pretentious to not live, not make mistakes. Because it's like, make the mistakes. The price has been paid. It's like going to a restaurant and someone pays your bill and you refuse to eat because you're like, the bill's been paid, I won't eat. It's like, that just feels kind of rude.
Yeah.
Like, live your life. The bill's been paid.
Or it's like, if the bill's paid, why are you still getting a water when you could get a
milkshake
or whatever?
Yeah,
you know?
And I'm not thinking of it in the sense of like, make the mistakes because the bill is paid, run up that bill.
Right.
It's more so like, don't be afraid to learn in other ways. There, yeah. Like, don't be afraid to have experiences that teach you things,
yeah.
Right?
The like, full scope of life.
Don't let it keep you here. Like, live your life, learn and grow. You know what I mean? If you make a mistake, that's a learning experience, and you're like, oh, let me not make that again, or let me try something different. And you'll make another mistake and you'll be like, oh, let me try something different. And then you'll make the right, and you, like, just like learn. It's meant to be like, life is this big like science experiment. So like, try things out.
Yeah.
You know?
Are there any of those like learning experiences that, I don't know, you think the youth or young adults listening to this could learn
like any
from?
Moment that I like tried something out and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Or something where I like made a mistake?
Both.
Ooh.
Either, yeah.
Learning experience from my life. Let's see.
This is advice. Listen up.
Oh, watch it be really bad advice though. I think that is actually is one is like, I think of the concept, I'll yell this a lot in psych where I'm like, what are you waiting for? And sometimes people are like, what are you talking about? Like, we're all here. But my concept is like, don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait till you're ready. Don't wait till you're perfect. Don't wait till you're like, whatever, to do the thing that's been weighing on you, right? Like, try it out. Try it out. Like, the project, stop putting it off. Try it out. Because for me, growth is not in the destination. It's not like, and when I get the goal, I will grow. It's in the journey to get there. It's so like the struggle is kind of important. But let me see. For the youths, I think one of the biggest things for me is to like, take your time. There's no rush. There is no rush. I have friends that come out and they like, feel like they're like, have missed decades worth of experiences and they just like dive in. And honestly, it seems like a lot of them are like overwhelmed. A lot of people like works for, but some people are just like, whoa. And I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. It's like your first time at the pool. Like, it's okay to feel the water first. It's okay to ease in. It's okay to not swim. You know what I mean? It's like you have options, and like navigate that with a sense of there's no rush. I came out when I was 30, and I feel like a lot of people were like, wow, I feel like I still have a lot of life to live. I feel like I still have a lot of time. And so there's experiences I haven't had yet, and I'm okay not rushing in. They'll come when they come. And if they don't, they don't. I don't know. If I really want to have the experience, I'll like get it. I'll like look for it. But I'm like, things have been coming, and I feel like it's been like a really gentle process and unfolding for me. It's been helpful for me to like take my time and like and be intentional about how I move forward.
Yeah. I like that both of the two messages were, what are you waiting for? And take your time.
Yeah.
You know?
Do it at your own pace.
At your pace, yeah. That's I think that's smart. Like why hold yourself back from what you want? Mm-hmm. But also like don't make yourself do things you're not ready for or that you don't want.
Time is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful like element to have in your little science project, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's okay. I remember the first time the first relationship I had, I like was experiencing things I had never felt before. I was like, this is what attraction is. This is what love is like with someone you're like romantically interested in. I was experiencing new emotions and feelings. And I feel like, I don't know if it's 30-year-old brain or whatnot. I was just like, it's okay to take your time here. Cause I was like, put a ring on the finger, lock it down. Let's adopt. We're moving to Connecticut, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm so glad that I took my time because I learned more about myself in this process, and it helped me have like, and I was in and had fun and I was in love, but it was helpful for me to get more perspective. And without time, I wouldn't have had that, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. It's like, oh, take your time. Yeah.
Well, and I think there's like sometimes pressure within the queer community that there are like certain steps or certain experiences that you have to have. Otherwise, you don't feel valid or whatever, you know, especially like, you know, this week was National Coming Out Day.
Right.
And I, you know, there's a lot of people who, you know, I felt that pressure where it's like, I'm ready to live my life. Therefore, I have to make an Instagram post about who I am or whatever, you know? And it's like, I did that with my sexuality. And then when I went on my gender journey, I didn't feel that pressure to do it. And I think that there's, you know, there's a different path for everybody when it comes to that, you know, like, if you want to come out, you can't. It doesn't have to be a written on a letterhead. It doesn't have to be a, you know, send tweet. Man. Like
I just like straight up like do it at your own pace. And I think it can be sometimes hard when you're like it's nice having that structure, those steps. There's like peace there. There's like even the sense of community where you're like, I'm doing it and I'm like in the community, but like move at your own pace. If someone's pressuring you, I don't care what community it's coming from. If someone is pressuring you to do what they want you to do, that's always cause for me to take a breath and be like, all right, is this what I want to do? Like, why are you pressuring me? Like, it's okay to move at your own pace.
Yeah. Well, and like, that's what it means to be queer, right? Is to be different, to be weird,
different, to like,
not put yourself in a box, but to make, you know, the world follow you rather than...
There's a bunch of things I do that are like a little unfortunate. I'm very proud of my sexuality. I love being gay. Like so much, y'all. And maybe it's because I've had experiences being straight. I've never was straight, right? But I pretended. And it feels so good to be myself now. And being gay and like kissing boys is like amazing. Like it's so great. I'm like, how have I been missing out on this? I'm very proud of being gay, but I'm also, there's like things that I like, I don't really wear rainbows. I just, the colors don't go with my skin tone or something. I don't know. I don't know if that's true, but I just like, I have nothing against rainbows. Love me seeing some rainbows around, but I just don't wear rainbows much. And I don't, and if it'd be weird if someone was like, you should wear rainbows, I'd be like, okay, whatever. Like, that's just something for me that I'm just like, yeah, just not really my jam, but power to you.
Yeah. Right, like the idea of a queer stereotype like that feels almost like an oxymoron, right?
Yeah, it's like
no, we do our own thing, you know, individually.
Like, I wear like military colors,
yeah,
with a little queer flair. But
Cadet
like
Kelly,
I know I stick to like grays, greens, browns, and blacks. So I'm like, man, and I'm like, I want to be flashy today, and I put on a black jacket. And I'm like, dang it, that's what I want to wear, you know?
So yeah, like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. So for you, after like going through all this process, after, you know, working with your family and warming them up and then coming out publicly, because I mean, you're a fairly public figure, right?
It was more public than I think I would have preferred in an ideal world, right?
Oh, how so?
Just because who wants their like whole journey to be like something everyone has buy-in on? Like the reason I came out publicly, and this you may not believe this, wasn't for the attention. No. I sat and I created a pros and cons list. I like my privacy, so I will share like my life according to what I feel, but I don't let people know like, I'm not like putting all my information online. Some people are probably watching this like, nah, he lying. He puts too much. But like, I'm a pretty private person, but I was like, if this helps one person, just one person, feel a little bit more supported in like being themselves and like mission accomplished, right? And I didn't want to have to worry about the backlash. I didn't want like to be like, I'm gay, and then people to have an opinion on that. Mm. I'm like, this isn't your life, this is my life. So like, if you think being gay is wrong, don't do it. Don't be. I don't know. I was like, whatever. I just, yeah. The idea of having that journey, these moments be like public sounds horrible.
Yeah. And like be debated and yeah, like questioned, man. And yeah.
People sometimes I'll be like, I do a lot of like activism work. I work with a couple nonprofits like Encircle or Equality Utah. And sometimes people want to like engage me on some of these topics I feel strongly about. Like it's just like a fun debate, which is hard. I have to remind people. I'm like, yeah, you talking about like racism in America might just be like an interesting debate to have, but that's like my life. And so as we talk about it, I want to make sure we create a space where we can chat, but also this has like real emotional stakes. You being like, are the police racist? Is like a debate for you. And for me, it has like real emotional and physical stakes. So right. Just like reminding people that like this debate we're having, this conversation is about like something very, very real that affects me every day.
Yeah, right. It's not the same as Coke versus Pepsi.
Right,
or
exactly.
Cougars versus you. It's not like that.
Or even for me to debate, like to me to discuss with someone like, yeah, like women's issues and like abortion and stuff is like, yes, like I feel like, you know, everyone, it's okay to have an opinion on stuff, but I don't have skin in that game. Mm. I date men, for heaven's sake. Like, we're not going to accidentally have a baby. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just like, don't have skin in that game in the same sense. And so maybe the way I go about it, it's just good to remember that some people have like real stakes in it or have experienced things that I've never have.
Totally. Well, and I think that's the importance of empathy, right?
Like, exactly.
Yeah, same thing. Like I don't have to go through women's issues, but I care about women. You know, I want to be there for them.
I'm just kidding.
Friends and family and, you know, like it should be obvious that there are important people of all variety in your life, you know? And so like having empathy for their experience and not trying to debate it, not trying to question it, mm-hmm. not trying to make it conform to, you know, a ballot box or anything.
Even talking to police, I remember I was talking to a policeman and I was like, man, like, why are people always getting hurt? And the policeman was like, well, like every day I leave the house, I don't know if I'm going to make it home. And I was like, oh snaps. Yes. I'm not a policeman. And I don't know what you're experiencing or going through. So for me, it was like, oh, you have a different type of skin in this game than I do that I would never experience. Like, it was just like, just things like that where it's like, oh, it's good to just know that like my experiences aren't everyone's experience and vice versa.
Yeah. That nuance again. Right?
The nuance. Yeah. Yes.
Interesting. So, again, coming out, all the whole process.
I'm like going on so many tangents. No, like,
I'm glad we are.
Why are we talking about police right now? I don't know. This is in circle.
After all that, is it better? Like, pros and cons. Like, have there been hardships after coming out that you didn't expect?
Is my life better? Yeah, it is. It really is. It very much is. Yeah. I do
scare me for a second.
I do wish someone was like, no, man, I should have stayed in the closet. But then it'd be like, let's discuss this. Tell me more. I feel like for me, one thing I think was really helpful about my experience is that internal process I went through. I worked through a lot of like internalized homophobia, fear of this. Like I worked through a lot of internal stuff that I think people sometimes work through as they're going through their journey. So I feel like by the time I officially came out and was like, and not even officially, just came out and started like moving around, I had already resolved a lot of conflict internally. Mm. And so I wasn't constantly like, oh no, like the guilt. I was like, no, I feel bad. Or like, or, you know, shame, like, people are watching me. I was, like, ready to dive in. But hands down, so much. It's just so good. And, like, I do need to clarify that, like, my life, I wasn't, like, a miserable mess. This is also something I just feel really, like, blessed and highly favored. I'm just, like, I've always been a happy person. Like, life is, I love the challenges that arise, and I've been surrounded by good people, and I had good experiences at BYU, and, like, on my LDS mission, like, I feel very fortunate for these experiences that not everyone has. But something that I noticed is when I came out, when I, literally, what's most important about this is just authenticity, like, being myself. Mm. It's less about, like, at least for me, the difference of, like, gay and not, or dating boys and not, and more so, like, being authentic to me. And like so many fronts, I feel like, oh, this is so dramatic, but I feel like my life just became like in color. Like I was living in black and white, and now it was color. Like I grew closer to my friends because I could like be more authentic and real with them. My family relationships grew stronger. Like we talk way more vulnerable in my family now. And I directly can tie that to me coming out. Mm. I feel like the heartache I've experienced has been like deeper. I'm feeling things stronger, but the joys I experience have been higher. I feel like I'm just like living in like color. Things are richer. Food tastes better.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like,
it like opened me up. I was numbed. I was numbing myself so much to like, as I was like hiding as part of myself, I was like numbing so much of who I was.
Mm.
Like I watch rom-coms and I tear up now. Back then, I don't know. Like now I can relate. It's like stuff that I'm like, I just feel more. And I love that.
So that was like, it's like a Wizard of Oz moment.
Like, yeah, it was like the Giver, Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Just I'm like, yeah, the first time I kissed a boy, I was like, you're telling me this apple's red? And I've just been eating this gray, black, and white apple. I'm like, this is amazing. Or like, remember having a conversation with a friend and like talking deep. And I was like, I don't have to like hide. I don't have to like, I can be vulnerable with people and get like that satisfying connection. Like it's just like nothing to do with sexuality at all, you know?
Right.
I know.
Well, yeah, it's like you open yourself up to vulnerability or to more possibilities. So, you know, there might be some bad, but there's going to be a lot of good because you're experiencing life as you and not as someone else.
It's just so much richer. Yeah. And some things got hard. I remember like experiencing rejection in a way that I'd never experienced. Guy wasn't interested in me or like, you know what I mean? Like things like dates, things don't work out, dates fall apart. And I was like, this hurts.
Oh.
I was like, whoa, this is new. that was really cool. Cause that was an area in which, I mean, to go into like areas of health, I was like emotionally stunted. I'd never experienced that like that. Mm. But it's just because I can open up. But like on the other end of that, the connection, like holding a hand for the first time, a kiss for the first time, dating someone, falling in love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was on a date recently and it's going kind of well, actually. Really exciting. But I remember just like looking in the person's eyes and being like, I've never felt this with a woman in my life. And we're literally just looking in each other's eyes. And I was like, the richness of the feeling. Like, it's like, yeah, you know, like I just feel like I'm like able to be in touch with me and in touch with life in a way that didn't happen before.
That's awesome.
It's like wild.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I'm sure like the rejection when it's like a girl that you're, it's like a feeling of relief maybe, and then it's.
I remember being like, no one likes to be rejected. Like.
Sure.
Like I mean, girls will come up to me and sometimes and be like, "You're really handsome," and I'm like, "I love that still." And I'm not attracted to them. I'm like, "Thank you. Oh my gosh." But yeah, just like didn't really try to date much. I don't ever remember being like, oh man, this isn't working out with this girl. Like the girls had to do a lot. Back in the day when I was dating women, they had to do a lot.
Really?
they had to do a lot for me to even like see if they were interested or to like try to like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't remember ever being rejected by a girl. And I'm sure it's happened. But it just doesn't sting as much, let me tell you.
Sure, right. Less stakes.
Yeah, right. Less stakes. Yeah. But I think all of that's a beautiful part of the human experience.
Yeah. So, well, I guess like this podcast, right? Every episode we talk about queer joy and what it means to us, how we define it. So I guess Is that how you would define queer joy?
Oh, no, that's wild. Because I ask people that question all the time, and I'm like...
You should have prepared for this.
The idea of being like, what is queer joy to me? I think when I think of the term queer joy, I think it's joy in your queer identity, right? So like, yeah, like you'd said, like for me, queer joy is the rounded human experience of like living off, like by living authentically, I have unlocked like areas of feelings and experiences that I never would have had. And I didn't even know, right? And like the joy, oh my gosh, like the other day, I was at a club in Salt Lake, a gay club. And it was just like, we're just dancing in a group. It was the most innocent fun. We're dancing in a group. Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone comes on. The gays light up because we all stan Kelly Clarkson. And I remember thinking, like, I fought so hard to be this authentic person I am. And I'm in this space right now surrounded by other people who have fought so hard to be their authentic selves. And we don't have to be afraid of that. We're singing at the top of our lungs, Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone, screaming along together, having a good time. And it felt for me, I was like, I experienced this like euphoria, the sense of like joy of like, this is what it means to be yourself. Like it was like one of the times where like growing up, I was constantly micromanaging my behavior. I would never have sung along to Kelly Clarkson, Since You've Been Gone, because that would have exposed me for being gay. And now I was doing it uninhibited, unhindered, and it just like this moment of euphoria of like, I am able to be myself hit me, and I was like, that is queer joy. That is queer joy. And I think queer joy, queer just puts that fun label on it, but I think that joy you get from being your authentic self is something that everyone can experience when you're like, you're not thinking about the time and you're not thinking about what you have to do, and you're just like in the moment loving life. I hear my parents sometimes talk about that when they're with us as a family. And we're just like all having a good time, that joy they experience, that parental joy. Or I hear, let's see, my siblings talk about that when we're together sometimes and we're just like vibing that like sibling joy. I think of that in the context of being queer, of like the authenticity, the just that moment of euphoria of like, this is, I am me. And I don't have to put on any pretenses for anyone.
That's awesome. Yeah, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about. Like, you don't need the boxes. You don't need the labels. Like, joy is just not worrying about it. Yeah. Being yourself and doing whatever makes you happy.
It really is. It really, really is. I was just thinking about this today. Slight tangent, but similar.
Please.
Because I've been like, I'm like, oh man, I want to really tap into all the aspects of my queerness. I don't want to have any internalized homophobia or anything that's keeping me from being my authentic self because of like fears I might have or cultural pressures. And I am so okay exploring more feminine styles, like earrings, dresses, whatever. I was going to host this thing and I was like, maybe I'll wear a dress, but it was not built for my body and it showed. But like, I'm just like explore this venue. And one thing that I thought was really interesting that is like, I feel very masculine. That's not everyone, right? People's gender expression is different. Some people are more feminine in their gender expression and feel more feminine. Like, that's so cool. But I feel masculine, and no matter what I wear, it doesn't change it. I'll put on a dress, I still feel very masculine. Today in cycle class, because I always tell people to like get crazy with those ponytails, I bought a ponytail from Amazon, clipped that puppy in. I felt super masculine with a ponytail on. And for me, it was like an indicator that like my identity, like how I see myself, how I feel is mine. It is mine. And it doesn't change according to like what people think of me, or it doesn't have to change according to like what I'm wearing or who I'm talking to. Like, that is something that belongs to me. And I have a responsibility to enjoy that, to be that. Like, I just thought that was so cool. And I was like, I could see people who identify as trans wearing like clothes that doesn't feel like that expresses them, and they're like, whatever this means, I'm still me on the inside, I'm still the person I know I am. And I was like, I don't know, I got really excited about that.
That's,
I was
awesome.
Like, yes, like, do your thing, be you, like, wear what you want to wear and do what you want to do, and like, I don't know, just don't hurt people.
Yeah, that's a good caveat at the end, right?
That's my thing, is like,
do your thing,
just don't hurt people. I'm like, people get so bent up sometimes about what other people are doing, and I'm like, Are they hurting? Are they hurting you?
Yeah.
Are they hurting them? Let them do their thing.
And that's such a good point. Like, whenever people are, you know, maybe more antagonistic to the queer community, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, they're not hurting you. You know, like, what, how does it even affect you at all? You
and know? I really feel like that goes many ways. Honestly, I feel like for the queer community, people would get so mad about what someone's wearing or like how they want to dress. And I'm like, why? Like, why is it affected so much? But on the other end, I see like, for example, my mom is like very practicing LDS, and that she has, it has made her a better person, hands down. She, when she comes to service, I remember one time coming home and our living room was gone. There's like no couches or anything. And we grew up poor, right? Or I grew up poor, my siblings, so we. And I remember being like, Mom, where's our couches? And she was like, someone needed them. So she just like gave our couches away.
Wow.
And I remember being like that's something my mom learned through like religion. I'm like, service, on giving freely. And that makes her a better person. And if sometimes people are like, but what are you mad at your mom? I'm like, she's not hurting me. She's not hurting herself. The way she is living her religion is a way that is giving and like lifting others up. I'm like, ah, she's not hurting anyone. Let her do her thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And I guess like that's your view, like with hers, that it, you know, it's not hurting you. Why should it hurt me? Why should I let
and
it?
And it's different for everyone. Person. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like different people are different. And like, I don't know, everyone has different vibes and not everyone, no one's my mom. That's just her. Right. So I might feel different in a different context.
Yeah, totally. Well, I just think that's a great example of, you know, in circles, no sides, only love.
Yeah.
Right? It's religion, queerness, they don't have to be enemies.
No.
We don't have to butt heads all the time. We don't have to hate each other.
Yeah, I'm truly so thankful for like hands down, like I am not saying this. I know sometimes people like, are you really happy? And you're I'm not like lying to you right now. I am truly so grateful for my queerness. I love how my life is. I love where I've like things fit, and it's probably going to change as I learn and grow. You know what I mean? Who knows? But when I think of my mom and like religion for her and the role it's played in my life through her, like I'm legitimately so grateful. I am so grateful for what it means to her and how it enables her to like be happy and navigate this life. Just as I'm happy for my sexuality and how it's enabled me to like navigate my life and have these experiences. It's like, and I think that's really cool that they can exist together.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I mean, I think it's not going to get much better than that, but you're a lot better at hosting than I am.
Like, no, you're doing great.
Are there any other thoughts that you're like, I want to make sure I get this message, you know,
anything
you want to say to young queer people, parents, whomever that might be listening?
Yeah, I do think, because we talked a lot about today, I think it's like on one end, there's the like let people do their thing, right? And if someone is pressuring you, someone's forcing you to accept something that you're like, I don't know how I feel about that. Like, let people be them. Like, we're all at the end of the day just trying our best, right? And sometimes that's messy and sometimes we make mistakes. And thank goodness that's kind of the purpose of life, right? Like, give yourself grace, you'll make mistakes. Give others grace for mistakes they'll make. But that doesn't mean you have to be in dangerous places. That doesn't mean you have to put up with abuse or violence of any kind. That's not what this means. This doesn't mean, like, you know, I'm giving my mom grace, but she is constantly, constantly hurting me. That is not what this is. There's a difference. The beauty of standing your ground and being who you are, but also respecting other people and their right to do the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. That was greatly put.
Ah.
You know, it's funny that we never, like, you know, joy and gay are synonyms, right? We never, like,
oh, really snaps. Explored that.
Yeah.
You've been sitting on this for a while, haven't
no,
you?
No, I just thought about that.
Get
now.
Out!
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, to be gay is to be happy.
Yeah.
Like, the joy and to... Oh, that's so cool.
At least, like, the, you know, the origin of gay, the mm-hmm. word, right?
I think about there's a couple scriptures that I still, like, to this day think about in my upbringing. And I know some people are like, I'm not meaning to trigger someone. I feel like I don't want to hear this. That's fine. But this has been a very important part of my faith journey and my sexuality journey. One of them is, Adam fell that men might be, and men know that they might have joy. And I sat and stewed on that a lot, because before I came out, I was so, like, I've always had been like a pretty happy person, but at one point I decided like, okay, I can't marry a woman. I'm not going to do it. I can't marry a man. It's wrong. So I think I'm just supposed to be single. And those were probably like the saddest years of my life. Just like a couple where I was just like, I'm going to be celibate monk, you know? And I was so freaking sad. And I was doing everything. I was doing all the structure, following everything by the book. And I was just getting sadder and sadder and more depressed and sadder. And I remember that scripture popping up, Adam filled that man might be a man or they might have joy. And I'm like, I am not experiencing joy. And I am here to have joy. And so it made me do some like some soul searching to be like, how can I be happy? And that a huge portion of that was embracing myself. And then the other one is, it's like God is not the spirit of fear, but of love, kindness, and a sound mind. I think I slaughtered it and someone can, but it's the concept of like fear versus love. And this like so much of my life at a certain point was navigated by like, especially in this area when I was at my lowest, I was afraid of making the wrong choice. I was afraid of like what others might think. I was so like, so many of my decisions were backed by fear. And that is not like the loving divine. That is not my image of God. And so I had to take a moment and be like, all right, I'm moving forward in fear. And so much of my life is dictated by fear. And that's not cool. Mm-hmm. So I had to be like, where's peace? Where's love? You know, and that's where my like philosophy of like, life is meant to be lived. We're not here to be afraid. We're not here to be like, oh no, I'm going to make the wrong choice. It's like, I used to view God as, I'm talking so much about religion. It's who I am. I'm not religion, I just believe it. But I used to think of God as someone who was like expecting me to stick to this paved trail. And like if I stepped off, he'd be like, let's get back on that trail. And I'd be like, oh, I made a mistake, let me get on the trail. And now I view God as someone who's like standing alongside me in the unknown and is expecting me to pave my own trail. Mm-hmm. This like supportive, comforting, loving, like presence who is like, I want you to succeed and I want you to be happy. And that means paving your own trail and finding out who you are. And sometimes the trail gets a little weird, but you can keep paving it. It's okay. Like that's kind of how things have changed for me.
That's awesome. Yeah. That kind of makes, you know, like when we were throwing around discussion topics or ideas for this episode, you mentioned the scripture of wickedness never was happiness.
Ah, yes.
And I think it just made me think of, you know, the opposite. And I think the opposite's true, which is happiness never was wicked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it makes you happy, if it brings you that peace, if it gives you the sound mind, if you're not feeling fear,
yes,
it's not wrong. You know, like
I bring that up, but I brought up that scripture because so many people will, it's so interesting, will look at queer people, or some people looked at me and they've been like, because I'm like, I'm happy, and they're like, wickedness never was happiness. Mm. And it's this like implication that they know I'm not happy, like I'm faking it or something. When I tell people, I'm like, oh my gosh, my life is so much better. They're like, it can't be better.
Mm.
And for them, it's not the question of like, oh, you're not happy. You know, it's like what you're doing, I know is wrong. So therefore, whatever you're experiencing is not real. Right?
Yeah.
And it's such a weird concept. You can say that about anyone. Someone's like, oh, I love going to church. And I'm like, you're not really happy because that's not good. And you know what I mean?
Totally.
I don't feel that way. But it's such a weird, and I think on those grounds, it's like, that's part of the give people grace and space. Like, I wonder how they would feel if they could like feel what I experienced, if they would still think it was like not happiness, or I wonder what they would think it was.
Yeah.
Like a counterfeit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm like, just give people space. If someone tells you they're happy, like, I know that might be hard for you. I guess. I don't know why that's hard. It's like, I refuse to believe you're happy. I get the concept, though, that it can challenge your very belief system.
Right.
And I think sometimes people, I think of people in my life who have been really adamant about my sexuality in ways that I found antagonistic. It's not often, I feel like it's not a personal thing. Like, they're not, like, trying to attack me. They're trying to like defend a paradigm.
Yeah.
And if they somehow believe that the way I'm living is beautiful and working for me. They have to like challenge their whole belief system, which is really unfortunate. And I'm like, yeah. That's so sad. So sometimes I'm like, when people like come at me hot, I'm like, I understand this is maybe not about me. And I'm like, sounds like something you need to think about. I don't know. But I get it. It's like give people grace to be themselves.
Yeah, like joy isn't a limited resource. Like you experiencing happiness isn't an attack on what makes someone else happy.
Even if we're doing different things.
Right, even if those come in conflict or would, doesn't mean, it's not.
Like some people like, do you like oatmeal raisin cookies?
I actually love oatmeal raisin cookies. They're good, yeah.
People be hating on oatmeal raisin. It's like one of my favorite cookies.
Oatmeal's the, yeah.
But it's like looking at someone eating an oatmeal raisin and being like, I would never like that. You're faking it.
Yeah.
Which I do feel that way about people in pretzels.
You don't like pretzels?
No,
like
I'm
soft pretzels or like
soft pretzels are different.
Okay. Oh, you're saying like the crunchy, like hard,
little crunchy, little sandpaper things.
I don't know. I kind of like.
This is my theory on it. This is important. This is an attention. When you go to parties, there are always some pretzels on the table because someone is like phoned it in and was like, "We get pretzels." Mm. They're always the only food left or the most abundant food at the end of the day. So people don't like
it. I see that.
If you had a choice of pretzels and literally any other food, you would probably choose it.
Yeah. Okay.
But you know, but if I was on a desert island and there's only a bowl of pretzels,
you're not going to starve.
I would die.
Oh, you would. I'm just kidding. You would choose to starve.
Okay. I would probably be like, I'd eat them. No, but I have strong feelings on pretzels. But at the end of the day, it's like, if you don't like oatmeal raisin, that's okay, but I can. Yeah. You know what I mean? And if you, this thing doesn't work for you and you refuse to believe it works for other people, you might need to just eat oatmeal raisin or something.
Right. Or even like your distaste for pretzels it's not an attack on my enjoyment.
It should be. I'm just kidding.
You gotta dip it some hummus. That's the key. That's like, use it like a
dip. You add anything else to pretzels and it like, if you, like people, what about chocolate covered pretzels? And I'm like, oh, plain pretzels. I will eat them though if they're in front of me just because I eat everything. I'm a grazer. But yeah, it's like my displeasure in pretzels shouldn't, have to like change your preference of how you feel about pretzels. Yeah. And I don't have to, like I just did, sit here and be like, pretzels suck.
You're wrong.
And you probably suck because you like pretzels. Yeah, no.
You're faking it. You're faking it. It's for attention.
Yeah. Man, pretzels is a bad example because I do feel like sometimes I'm like, you don't have to eat those.
Yeah.
When people eat them, I'm like, are you okay? Like who's making you do this?
Well, I think there's no better place to wrap than on pretzels. Well, thanks so much for joining us. This is the season finale for season 2 of Stories from In Circle with Stacey Harkey. So look out for us coming back soon.
It's been a joy to host the podcast, and I'm so glad to be interviewed by Cal. Y'all have a good one.